a bright future ahead of it. But for now, so I don't know if you guys were here. I think in November we had the guys from Chicago Loot Drop in the house. It's a really cool charity. We'll let them explain it for a second. But they're both also going to tell stories. So first up, we have Mike Bretzleff, right? And if you I would appreciate it if you would plug yourself a little if you want to before the story.
No problem.
Yeah.
Okay, Chicago Loot Drop is basically the local face of Penny Arcade's Child's Play because nobody else is doing it, so we did it. And so we worked to raise money to buy books and toys and games for sick kids at University of Chicago's Comer Children's Hospital on the South Side. And we love that place. It reaches to a lot of the underprivileged kids. Who I have a very special heart for, and it even goes so far south as to where I'm from, Kankakee, to the point where even my, he turned two on February, when he was very young. My nephew actually was at Comer for a while, so it was very interesting. You walk around Comer, it's just all these toys, and everybody, if you've ever given to Chicago Loot Drop, that's because of you, and so thank you. And now I'm going to read you a fan fiction I wrote when I was 12. Yeah! I managed to dig this out of my parents' basement. It was quite the scavenge. Anyway, they couldn't believe I found it, let alone that it had been kept and survived the flood in the basement. It is bound. It was an assignment to write a short story, and then it was sent off to be bound. You can keep it forever. Probably the only one that kept it forever. Anyway, I'm not gonna read all of it. It's way too long. I'll read portions of it, and I will read it as it is. Obviously, not proofread by the teacher. So I give you my fan fiction, my obsession from when I was 12, Star Wars: The Discovery. And now we get to the first page, which is probably the funniest page of all the pages, the dedication. I dedicate this book to George Lucas. This is 1994. The other trilogy hasn't come out yet, and Greedo still just gets blown the fuck away. But Star Wars was resurging in popularity. This is Timothy Zahn trilogy and the Dark Empire comic by Dark Horse, you know. And also, the trilogy, I think at that time, was on USA Network like every weekend. And to this day, I know where the commercial breaks are when I watch the original trilogy. Much like Jaws on WGN. I can tell you exactly where we're going to go to commercial break. And speaking of WGN, at the time, before I wrote this, I had, for the first time, finally seen Predator 2. And the ending had blown my 12-year-old mind away with the hidden Easter egg. That might come up. All right, let's get to the actual story. Say it with me now. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
A whole page on that.
If you can't see, this is a dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
I typed it on a 486 and one of the first versions of WordPerfect that had a graphical interface. Yeah. This is very old. Okay, so this is the opening crawl. This is probably the one few things I will read entirely because some of you will probably appreciate this. 2 years after the defeat of Admiral Dalla and the death of the first Dark Lord of the Sith, Axar Kun, Chief of State and Jedi Knight Leia Organa Solo has sent a strike team to investigate the galaxy the Sirook came from. After their disappearance, she sends a new group.
that she will accompany. The members of this group are, and here's a whole bunch of names for you, Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight Kip Duran, Han Solo, Chewbacca, droids R2-D2 and C-3PO, spelled out, by the way. Also, Leia's Jedi children, Jacen, Janna, Anakin, her helper, Winter, and the commander of the fleet, Admiral Ackbar. I have more names. Don't wait up. All right. She has left in charge Agast Nevek, the new Minister of State of the New Republic, and help of the former Chief of State, Mon Mothma. Okay, at the time, there were 24 published Star Wars novels. I had owned and read all of them, and I apparently really wanted you to know that. As for the Siruk, there was a book, Truce of Pakura, if I recall. It was horrible, but the Force had no effect on them. As we know now, that would mean just that they have no midi-chlorines. Luke was not aware of this in the novel because Yoda and Obi-Wan didn't see it was fit to teach him that because it is dumb. Okay, so everybody that I just named is on the Millennium Falcon in this large New Republic fleet. And they have exited the galaxy where Star Wars takes place, and they're trying to figure out which way to go. Luke, the Jedi Master slash dowsing rot that he is, decides, I think we should go left. New galaxy, no idea where they're at. We should go left. Because like Khan, he has no concept of space as three dimensions. It's just a two-dimensional plane, and Kirk is going to swoop down and kick your ass. All right, skipping ahead, because this is all garbage. They end up in this new galaxy. They find a planet that has an entire city, and it has a forest moon. So Coruscant and Endor, apparently. And I just move them into a new place. Everybody, and they get attacked by these mysterious ships. They don't know what's going on. Everybody takes flight, including Leia in her ship called Alderaan, which I'm guessing I pulled that. I basically didn't make that up. But in a poor choice of phrasing, Alderaan was hit and crashed into the small moon. So everybody of the main characters follows Leia down onto the forest moon. And the battle apparently is just going on. While they're fixing her ship, they are hearing a loud roaring sound going on. So Luke and Kip decide to investigate, and they end up finding the strike team they're originally trying to find. They're all dead, their ship's destroyed, but then they hear the roaring sound again, and now we dive into it. The sound came again, but this time from only a few feet from where Luke stood. Luke looked ahead to where the sound came from and saw two horrifying creatures. They were black with razor-sharp fangs. They stood on two long legs, which enabled them to tower over the two Jedi, making them even more hair-raising than they were. Like lightning, they charged towards the Jedi who were quick to react to the attack. They immediately drew their lightsabers and activated them. They swung them through the air, cutting off the aliens' heads. Capital A, in case you didn't get the description, that's a proper noun. These are the aliens, the xenomorphs from Aliens. And so from now on, I just refer to them as capital A alien anytime they show up. I just assume you know what that is. The head falls to the ground and lands at Luke's feet. The green blood oozed onto Luke's shoes, but apparently doing no damage. I apparently didn't get that right. Anyway, they go deeper into the forest, and they find bodies of the strike team hanging upside down from the trees. Kip looked in horror at the bodies hanging from a branch on the tree. Below them were the bodies of some more aliens. Master, I suggest we leave here. Kip looked down at his shirt and saw a red triangle moving up onto his chest. Luke looked up to the branch where the bodies hung. He didn't see anything when, surprisingly, a predator appeared. Capital B, proper noun, no introduction. I hope you know what I'm referring to here. Anyway, so, skipping past. Not surprisingly, they escape, they take off, and the Millennium Falcon cannot enter hyperspace. And instead, they get pulled onto the Predator capital ship
in which using the Jedi mind trick, Luke managed to convince a Predator to take him to the tractor beam controls, because of course there are tractor beam controls. And everything's going well, and the Predator is actually on his way out until, remember, this is for school, so certain words cannot be used. Han comments, "Oh man, that's one ugly thing." To which the Predator goes into a rage, "Ugly, ugly," and sounds an alarm. Luke, we're gonna have company, Han Holler! Yeah. "Oh no, not again," Luke said, remembering what they had when they had rescued Leia on the first Death Star, Han had said the exact same thing. Because you didn't know that. Anyway, they end up in a long hallway full of with prison cells full of aliens. The aliens get released from them, and they all handily dispatch them. But then something else shows up. Standing before them was another alien, except this one was bigger than the others and a lot more frightening. It walked up to Chewie and opened its mouth. Out came another mouth with fangs even sharper than the larger one. It snapped at Chewie, which angered him. He pulled out his crossbow, and it's a bowcaster, you 12-year-old dumbass, and started... and started to fire at the creature, reloading canister after canister. The creature cried out in pain. Chewie kept on firing until the creature dropped to the floor and died. After the large alien was dead, the steel doors opened. Why not? But hey, what? I would watch the movie where Chewie one-on-one takes out the queen alien. They go into the next room. On the south side of the room, because there's a south on a ship floating in space. Was a large crevice full of skulls of many types. Luke and Han walked over to it. It's some type of trophy case. Luke looked at each skull. Everyone had a tag underneath it telling which planet the skull came from. Luke saw many human skulls, but the one that interested him the most was the one that had a tag that said Earth. "Have you heard of the planet called Earth?" Luke asked Han. "Nope." And that is the discovery from which the story takes its title, in case you missed it. That's the discovery, because then they escape the ship, but R2 being R2, and he could interface with anything, did of course download all of the data from the ship, and now they are headed to Earth. Brief conclusion, that 12-year-old that wrote this died several years ago. But with the announcement in November of new Star Wars movies, without George Lucas, he is alive and well and very excited to be horribly disappointed again.
First of all, crossovers are awesome, right? Second of all, could we possibly scan that and put it on the website?
Yes, please.
Awesome. Guys, give it up for Mike again. That was fucking great. Fucking great.